When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot has taught to the Lord out. It is well with my soul. It is well. It is well with my soul. Heavenly Father, we thank you today that through Jesus' blood we can say it's well with our soul. Lord, in the midst of a crooked and a perverse nation, I pray help us to shine forth as light. God, I pray help us to look unto Jesus today, the author and the finisher of our faith. And I pray, God, today that you'll bless these people that have come and that are listening with truth and righteousness and grace and mercy. And I pray that you will be glorified by the saving of lost people, turning from their sin and placing their faith and their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. I pray, God, today glorify yourself. In spite of us, glorify yourself. In Jesus' name I pray, for his sake, amen. Take your Bibles to the book of Jeremiah chapter 7 this morning. Jeremiah chapter 7. Good to have visitors with us today. I'm not going to disturb you by introducing people. We're just glad you're all here. Amen. Amen. We appreciate you being here. I want you also be in prayer again for Danny and Myra, for Steve Childers. Spiritual warfare. Pray for each other here in the church. Amen. Jeremiah chapter 7. I'm going to ask that everybody be there. If you don't have a Bible, scoot over by somebody and say, hey, let me read the Bible with you. But get your Bible open today, because we're going to do a lot of reading. And this will be a little bit different kind of a message than I normally preach. But this is what God has given me to preach today, and I'm going to preach it. And so as a way of introduction, before we get started in Jeremiah chapter 7, this is the message that the Lord gave Jeremiah, called the message in the gate of the temple. And this is one of the most important four chapters in the entire book of Jeremiah to understand the book and what's going on. Now, I want you to understand something. In verse number 1, it says, the word that came to Jeremiah out of his own mind. Y'all reading your Bible? What did it say?
From the Lord.
It said, from the Lord. I'll tell you something. There's a difference between what some man says and when the message is from the Lord. By the way, Shane and June, happy anniversary. You got sung too anyway, amen. We love you in the Lord. Appreciate you. How many years? How many? 19 years. Let's give them a good hand today. Amen. God bless you guys. I tell you what, them kids, they don't look 2 and 3 years old anymore. They look like about 18 years old. Amen. But anyway, I want to point something out. He said, the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord saying, look at verse number 2. Everybody there say amen.
Amen.
Stand down at the bar. Stand down at the racetrack. Stand down at the casino. Stand down at the gymnasium. Where did he say stand? Where did he say go preach this message at? The gate of the temple. Now, to give you a little historical background here, Josiah the king, Jeremiah preaches through, he preached about 100 years after Isaiah. He comes on. Isaiah already said the nation's in a mess, sick from head to soul. This is 100 years later. And they have not turned. They've had a little bit of revival, but they had reinstituted some of the temple worship. And folks were coming to the temple to worship. Now, I mean, what, and for instance, it might be like on a Sunday morning. I mean, cars is driving in and people's coming in both doors. And boy, everybody, you know. And he said, I want you to go down and stand at the gate. In other words, out here at the driveway or at the doors where people are coming in. I want you to go preach right there as people are going into what? Worship. It's interesting to me that he didn't tell them to go down to the bar. He didn't say go down to the house of the sodomites. He didn't say go down to the casino, the racetrack, NASCAR, the gymnasium, over to the Cardinals ball game. He said, you go to the gate of the temple. And so I want you to keep that framework in mind here. Before we get any further, I want to say something about Jeremiah. In Matthew chapter 16, they were trying to figure, them religious people were trying to figure out who Jesus was. One of them said, well, you reckon he's Isaiah? Or maybe he's Elijah. And then somebody said, maybe he's Jeremiah. And there's a reason they thought that Jesus might be Jeremiah. And that's because Jesus wept over Jerusalem at his time, just like Jeremiah was weeping over Jerusalem in his time. They said, we've seen something. In our history, we know there was something like this before. Is he Jeremiah? Jeremiah is not Elijah. He's not really like many of the other prophets, but he's probably, maybe, the most important prophet when it's all shook out. Jeremiah isn't some crude, rough, coming up with a lot of sticky phrases preacher, jumping up and down like I do maybe and running up and down the aisles or jumping up here and there. He's a very solemn, humble, quiet, meek preacher. But he says stuff that nobody else will say. He preached before, during, and into the captivity. Jeremiah saw Jerusalem destroyed before his very eyes. He saw the fulfillment of his prophecy before his very eyes. In that destruction of Jerusalem, he saw the old men killed. He saw when the armies came in from Babylon, they just hit an old man with a sword, strike him down, cut his head off. They'd see a young man, Levi's age, with his wife. They'd kill you, drag your wife by the head of the hair, take her away. He saw young women, the girls of the city, being ravaged and raped right in the streets by this invading army. He saw mothers slaughtered like hogs and pigs in the street, hunted down in the attics of their homes. And when you get down to seeing who is left, it's pitiful. It's amazing. They slaughtered and slaughtered and slaughtered throughout the city and throughout the villages, the small towns of Jerusalem, around Jerusalem, there in Judea. Before all that happened, Jeremiah God told Jeremiah, I want you to go stand in the gate of the temple, and I want you to try to stop these people from their destruction. But watch this. He said, Jeremiah, before you go, I'm going to tell you, they're not going to listen to you. I'd been Jeremiah. I said, Lord, why do I even need to go? Because God will never be able, you will never be able to tell God he didn't give you a chance. And Jeremiah went down there, and they curled their lips at him. They hated his guts. They basically threw him in a pit. You read his story, his life stuff. It's terrible how they treated him. They hated him. They hated him. I'm not talking about the barroom crowd. I'm talking about the people that were going to the temple. They hated his guts. They curled their lips and rejected his message. And Jeremiah stood between that nation and as it were, it's like God sent him to a cliff, the edge of a cliff, and said, stop, repent, turn around. And they just swept him aside and went headlong off into the pit of destruction in the nation. I do not know of a book that reminds me more of America than Jeremiah does. And so we're going to take off today with this message of Jeremiah in the gate of the temple. I remind you this, that Jesus, that the Bible said, if my people, watch this, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face, turn from their sin. He said, I'll hear from heaven, I'll hear their land, forgive their sin. He didn't say at the barroom crowd, the casino crowd, the gymnasium crowd, sports club crowd. He said, God's people. I don't preach this morning to beat us down or anything. I'm just telling you, we're living in perilous times. We could be living at the end of American freedom. You literally are seeing before your eyes officials shut churches down. A friend of mine, in fact, he has visited this church from Canada, was ticketed last week for singing with other saints in a park in Canada. They gave him a ticket because he was leading the singing. They were social distancing. They went out to sing together, try to have some kind of a worship service together. He was issued a citation. I don't know where it's going to go to. It's not going good. Governors across America are telling people they can't go to church, when they can go to church, where they can go, what they can do. We're seeing our liberty taken away from us before our eyes. But I think there's a reason. And you're going to see in this passage of Scripture that God does not continue. He's long-suffering and he's kind and he doesn't want to judge a nation, but he will judge a nation. And I believe America's under judgment. I'm serious with you. I don't know what's going to happen, but let's take off. Verse number 2, stand in the gate of the Lord's house. Proclaim there this word. Now, please, I beg you, you wouldn't get nothing out of this message unless you have your Bible and read along with me. Hear the word of the Lord, all ye of Judah, that enter into these gates to worship the Lord. Again, think about this thing. These people have come to worship God. Verse number 3, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, amend your ways. Underline that. Change the way you're living. Quit living like you're living and your doings. Your ways and your doings. I want you to stop the way you're living. But Lord, we're coming to church. Look what they say to him. Verse number 4, trust ye not in lying words saying, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord are these. They were saying, Lord, we're going to church. Man, we're going to church. Man, we're going to church. We're going to the temple. We're going to the temple. We're going to the temple, man. I'm there almost every Sunday. He said, don't trust in those lying words. You coming down here to temple 3 times in a row. Isn't it amazing he said 3 times? You coming down is not fixing the problem. Verse number 5. For if ye thoroughly amend your ways and your doings, if ye thoroughly execute judgment between a man and his neighbor, if ye oppress not the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow, and watch this, look at this phrase, shed not innocent blood in this place, neither walk after other gods to your hurt. Now notice that phrase. He said, you are walking after other gods. You may be coming to my temple, but you are walking after other gods. He said, if you'll stop that, then I will cause you to dwell in this place, in the land that I gave to your fathers forever and ever. He said, I don't want to destroy you, and I don't want to scatter you, and I don't want to disperse you. I want to save you, and I want to live in this land. I believe God is saying that to America today. I don't believe God wants to destroy America, but I believe God will if we don't amend our ways and change our doings. Now, here's what he said, verse number 11. Behold, ye trust in lying words that cannot profit. We're living in the lionest generation I have ever seen in my life or in the history of this nation. This nation is packed full of liars, from the news media to most people in office to just the common man out on the street. You can't hear the truth from hardly anybody. Pulpits are full of lies. And a lot of the lying is just because they're not saying what should be said. Their silence gives consent and says it's okay. And he said there in verse number 9, will you steal? There's a lot of ways to steal. Not just breaking into somebody's house. There's a lot of ways to steal. Be dishonest in your dealings. Murder, commit adultery, swear falsely, and burn incense unto Baal. Now, I'm going to tell you something. America has its own Baal. Let me tell you what America's Baal is. America's Baal is our government. And here's why. Look, if you'll go down through there, he said, let's keep following a little bit. He said, unto Baal, and walk after other gods whom ye know not. Now, watch verse 10. There's a split from number 9. He says, you steal, you murder, you commit adultery, you swear falsely, you burn incense unto Baal, you walk after the gods whom you know not, semicolon, and come and stand before me in this house. He said, you are worshiping two different totally systems. You are worshiping a Baal system, and then you come over here to my house and you worship me. He said, during the week you're worshiping Baal, Sunday you're worshiping me. Okay? Now, let me tell you, he said, watch this, and stand before me in this house, which is called by my name, and say, we're delivered to do all these abominations. There ain't nothing wrong with what I'm doing. I'm fine. No problem. Is this house, which is called by my name, become a den of robbers in your eyes? Behold, even I have seen it, saith the Lord. But go ye now into my place, which was in Shiloh, where I set my name at the first, and see what I did it before the wickedness of my people Israel. We don't have time to go there, but at one time he put the ark in Shiloh, and they got so wicked and stuff, he blew that place, said, I don't care. You know what Shiloh means? It means the presence of the Messiah. It means the peace of the Messiah, the blessing of the Messiah. That's what Shiloh was about. He said, you got so nasty, so wicked. He said, don't talk to me about Shiloh. He said, it's not the name of a place that makes it. It's what's going on there. Okay? Now, let me tell you about Baal in America. Government has become our Baal, and here's why. You'll read later in the chapter, they were burning incense unto Baal. Now, what's that mean? They were praying to Baal. Watch this. They were looking to Baal for sustenance, for provision, for help, for security, for safety, for all the things of their necessities of life. Then they'd pop off down to church, but he said, no, you're burning incense to Baal. Americans want government instead of God to take care of them now. Yeah. I am telling you something right now. We can talk about all we want to. Now, I'm going to tell you right now, Jesus was not a socialist. Right. Socialists take other people's money and force it out of them to give to people they want to buy their votes with and control. That's socialism. All right? Jesus never did that. Jesus ministry, total voluntarily. If you wanted to give, you just give. That's voluntarily. See, to help the poor, to feed the poor. I had a guy text me here a while back on one of my messages on Facebook or somewhere. He said, I'll tell you right now, you don't even know Jesus. Jesus was a socialist because he fed the poor out there. He fed all the multitudes and he fed them with stuff. I said, yeah, but he didn't extort it out of people through taxes. They voluntarily, that boy yielded. He gave away fishes and his loaves. Jesus didn't go, give me that. See, it's a ministry, not a government. But Americans want the government to house them, feed them, health care them. I'll tell you right now, America's government agencies have become Baalistic institutions. And one of the primary things is the public school system. Take care of our kids, educate. We don't care what you teach them. We don't even want to look at the textbooks. Just take them out of our presence. Just the flat truth. You know, you can be exactly like the Israeli people were here if you want to and say, I just don't go along with that. Fine. Tell me how we got where we're at in the last 60 years. Amen. This has all happened since they took God out of our educational system. That's exactly the truth. I've lived long enough. I've experienced it. I know what I'm talking about. I don't need anybody feeding me a line of nonsense. Amen. We have become a people who burn incense to Baal. I'll tell you why all these inner cities vote for somebody like Biden. Because they want to be on the government dole about everything. They want to be housed and fed, and they don't want to work. I'll tell you why somebody don't want to pay off their student loan, because they're lazy hound dog socialists, wants the people who are working out here and welding tomorrow to pay their bill. Yeah. I'm a little bit bothered by this country this morning. So if it bothers you, you're welcome to leave. The door's not locked. And I'm not trying to be ornery. I'm just saying, I'm tired of this nonsense. And if you want to know what's really going on in this country, read your Bible. Don't listen to Fox News. Yep. Now, here we go. Verse number 13. And now, because you've done all these works, saith the Lord, and I spake unto you, rising up early and speaking, you heard not. I called, but you answered not. God said, I've been trying to get a hold of your attention. Therefore will I do unto this house, which is called by my name, wherein you trust, and unto the place which I give unto you and your fathers, as I have done to Shiloh. In other words, I'm going to destroy it. I'm going to destroy your worship place. You're not going to phony baloney worship me any longer. That's what he's telling them. Verse 15, and I will cast you out of my sight as I have cast out all your brethren, even the whole seed of Ephraim. Ephraim is Israel to the north of them. That's the 10 tribes to the north. They had already been taken into captivity several decades before. I've got the exact dates, but anyway, they were taken into captivity a long time before. He said, I'm going to do you just like them. I let the Assyrians take them out. I'm going to have the Babylonians take you guys out. Verse 16, therefore pray not thou for this people. Whoa, what? He's told Jeremiah, these people are so far gone, don't even waste your time praying for them. You tell them, but don't pray for them. We're in bad shape when we get there, folks. Neither lift up crying or prayer for them, neither make intercession to me, for I will not hear thee. This is, somebody ought to preach on this, when God does not answer prayer and will not answer prayer. We can go so far, and I'm wondering, has America gone so far that God said, I'm not listening to your nonsense anymore. You play in religion all your life. It's eat, drink, and marry Monday through Saturday. And then you want to come in here and play around, and you want to go live exactly like you want to live. God says, I ain't putting up with it. Amen. Verse number 17, seest thou not what they do in the cities of Judah and the streets of Jerusalem? What's this? The children gather wood, the fathers kindle the fire, and the women knead their dough to make cakes to the queen of heaven. Now, Sunday school class this morning, we was talking about this queen a little bit, that Satan wants everybody to worship a female god because God is a male. Okay? God the Father. God the Son. Okay? Not God the daughter. Not our mother in heaven. Now, the Catholic Church calls Mary the Queen of Heaven. Am I right about that or not? You former Catholics, am I right about that or not? She is called the Queen of Heaven. And she's to be the intercessor for you to Jesus. Because she's his mother and she can twist his arm for you. That's the whole concept. And they think, well, yeah, that's kind of the way it is at the house. You know, I talked to mom, she'd get me out of trouble with dad. That's the way they work that. Now the queen, watch this. This is amazing. The Queen of Heaven worship came out of Babylon originally. If you know anything about history. The queen of Babylon, Samarius and her son, Isis, all that stuff, come out of Babylon. Guess where these people are going to be taken captive? To Babylon. Watch this. He said, you want to worship that garbage out of Babylon? I'll send you down there so you can just get right into it. I'll take your freedom away from you. I'll take your property away from you. I'll take everything away from you that's precious, and I'll send you down to the place where you want to worship like that. You want to worship Baal? You want to depend upon government, they'll enslave you. You'll be dependent on them, all right. He said, they make their cakes to the Queen of Heaven, pour out their drink offerings unto other gods that they may provoke me to anger. Do they provoke me to anger, saith the Lord? Do they not provoke themselves to the confusion of their own faces? That's what's happened to America. I mean, you're talking about confusion. We can't even figure out what bathroom we're supposed to go to now. A nation that does not know male from female is stupid. Amen. Crazy. That's right. Absolutely. Idiocy. Yes, right. Any mom and dad who'll say, well, I don't care what gender you want to be, you're an idiot. Right. You're crazy. You're confused. Amen. And you watch what I tell you. If this bunch of thieves steal the election, you'll see an executive order in the public schools before they're out of there to force the public schools to let girls into boys' bathrooms and boys into girls' bathrooms. You watch what I tell you. Yeah. Yeah. They're already sending signals. He already said, if I get sworn in, the first thing I'll do the first day is I will change the transgender policy Trump had toward them people in the military. Then I will promote the ABC, whatever their stinking alpha letter agenda is. He said, that's going to be front burner stuff. You talking about confusion? God said, you're confused. This nation is confused. We think it's all right to kill a baby in the womb. We're confused. We're in our own confusion. We're confused. We're confused about everything in this country because we've abandoned the Bible. And listen, I'm not preaching down to you. I'm not preaching mean to you. I'm telling you something. If this is God's people, if we're a church of the living God, we need to get a hold of God's word and we need to know where we stand and what the truth is and get our feet planted and know what's right and what's wrong and stand by it and recognize. Let me tell you something. God wouldn't have destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah if there had been 10 righteous people in it. But there wasn't. Verse 20, therefore saith the Lord God, behold mine anger and my fury. And look, these are not light words. If God gets angry and God has fury, it's on. Shall be poured out upon this place. And it was, folks. He let that Babylonian army come in there and they slaughtered those people like animals. Raped, pillaged, stole everything from inside their closet of their houses to their temple. They took the sea of God that Solomon had made with the oxen underneath it, the temple. They took everything out of the temple, burned it, and took all the brass, the gold, everything out of there, took the pillars. God gave me a message this week called hollow pillars. You know what those pillars? They looked really, really good on the outside, but inside they were hollow. Boy, I look at I said, boy, do I look that, Lord, am I a hollow pillar? I look good on the outside. But inside I'm hollow. There's nothing there. He said, my fury should be poured out upon man. Watch this. Upon beast, upon the trees, the field, of the fruit of the ground, and it shall burn and not be quenched. And let me tell you something. That happened. They burnt that country up. In fact, you go over today, except what the Jewish people going back in the land now have rebuilt, replanted, and all that kind of stuff. That country is as barren as the Sahara Desert out here. Sahara Desert. When he said, I'm going to pour my fury out upon man, the trees, the fruit, the ground, the grass, I'm going to burn it. He did it. It happened. It is a historical fact. Verse 21, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, put your burnt offerings until you sacrifice and eat flesh. For I spake not unto your fathers, nor commanded them in the day that I brought them out of the land of Egypt concerning burnt offerings and sacrifices. One of the greatest truths of the Bible is right here. God brought them out of the land of Egypt. He didn't, you know what he didn't do? He didn't take them across the Red Sea and say, whoa, everybody, stop right here. I got to give you a bunch of stuff. You know God didn't give them all the commandment stuff till later down the road and all the offerings and the feast and all that stuff till later down the road? Do you know why he gave them? Because they would not obey him. And he said, all right, I'm going to have to give you a bunch of laws. You won't do right. I'm going to have to set some rules up. This is a great truth right here. Verse 23, but this one thing commanded them, saying, obey my voice, and I'll be your God. You know, all he wanted them to do when they crossed the Red Sea or crossed the Red Sea was obey him. Do what I tell you to do. That's all he wanted. Can I tell you something? God doesn't want you going like this and trying to straitjacket Christianity. He just wants you to do what this book says. That's all he's asking. Is that too much? Let me tell you what God's asking. Reggie, I want you to be faithful to your wife. I want you to love your wife as Christ loved the church. Is that asking too much? Wives, I want you to love your husbands. I want you to be submissive to husband. I want you to be a helpmate to him. Is that asking too much? Children, I want you to obey your parents as unto the Lord. Do that which is right. Is that too much? I want you to be honest in your dealings out here this week. Is that too much? I want you to train your children right and teach them what's right and wrong and discipline. Don't let them be a bunch of those crazy rebels running around tearing every jack up everywhere. Teach them right and wrong. Is that too much? I want you to dress modestly. I don't want you to own your rear end to everybody. Is that too much? I want the men to dress like men. I want the girls to dress like girls. Is that too much? God got to write all these rules out for us all the time. Say, God does not like that. He doesn't want to be that way to you and I. Amen. I know this is a little tough, but I'm telling you, we're there in America. We are here, whether we like it or not. History repeats itself, and the only thing we learn from history is we don't learn nothing. And the Bible said in the New Testament, these things are written unto us for our admonition, that we might have hope. He said, for your learning, he said, you go back and you read what happened to those people. You read how I responded to those people. Let me tell you something. It wouldn't take God 6 months to turn the grocery stores to where there wouldn't be any food on the go. I tell you what, the toilet paper's already been there, right? It wouldn't take God 6 months to wipe the stores out. All he's got to do is set a wide drought. It wouldn't take 6 months till there'd be 5 mile lines of cattle traders to the sale barn because there's no grass, no hay, no corn, no soybeans, no nothing to feed them things with. It wouldn't take 6 months till you couldn't give a cow away. If he just turns the faucet off on us. That's all he's got to do. I am telling you, I think we are in trouble. I'm afraid of it. And the reason I'm preaching this message is because I want this people that I pastor, I want you to be ready. I want you to have a sound mind. I want you to have joy. I want you to have strength. I don't want you scared. But I'm going to say, I'll tell you what, we're going to get lined up with God. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord.
Amen.
And we're going to be ready. We're not going to live in fear because we're right with God. Ain't no junk going on. I'm not living a double life. I'm not living in the world this week, this part of the week. I don't do this way one way, and then when I'm away from the church, I live another way. I'm right with God. I got to keep trucking. Look at verse number 24. But they hearken not. He said, all the ones you do is walk in my way, nor incline their ear, but walked in the counsel and imagination of their evil heart, and went backward and not forward. Since the day that your fathers came forth out of the land of Egypt, unto this day I have even sent unto you all my servants and prophets, daily riseth up early and sending them. Verse 26, yet they hearken not unto me, nor incline their ear, but harden their neck. They did worse than their fathers. I'm going to tell you a little truth today. It's dangerous to go to this church if you do not have an obedient spirit to the word of God, because your neck will get hardened spiritually toward God.
Amen.
And then trouble comes. It'll hit you like a sledgehammer, and you'll wake up on the ground wondering what on earth happened. And the Holy Spirit will say, I'll tell you what happened. You kept rebelling and rejecting simple truths of the Bible. Verse 27, therefore thou shalt speak all these words unto them, but they will not hearken to thee. There it is. Thou shalt also call on them, but they will not answer thee. But thou shalt say unto them, this is a nation that obeyeth not the voice of the Lord their God, nor receiveth correction. Truth is perished, is cut off from their mouth. Cut off thine hair, O Jerusalem. He's talking, cutting off the hair was like a severe expression of mourning and grief and turning. And take up a lamentation on high places, for the Lord hath rejected and forsaken the generation of his wrath. For the children of Judah have done evil in my sight, saith the Lord. They have set their abominations, watch this, in the house which is called by my name to pollute it. That's going on in America. I don't care what you say. When you set a rock and roll band up on the stage of a church, you have set the abomination of this world inside the church of the living God. I'm going to say something further. I don't care what preachers like this. You didn't call me. You don't pay me. I'm telling you what, and I'd preach if you didn't pay. I'm telling you right now, when you set these foreign Bibles and these fake Bibles in these churches, you're setting an abomination. You're calling God a liar. That's what you're doing. Well, these preachers won't be honest about that. But you take another version of the Bible, and you know it's different, and you know it says things that are different, you're setting an abomination, you're calling God a liar.
Right.
Now, there's a lot of abominations in the Bible. One was a false witness. One of them is he that soweth discord among his brethren. There's all kinds of things in the Bible that are abominations of God. Part of it's men wearing women's clothes and women wearing men's clothes.
Amen.
And there's all kinds of things, but swearing falsely and so forth, sowing discord among the brethren. A lot of things about abomination. Don't just pick one that you think you can get by with. But he said, you're doing these abominations. You walk into church on, and he's telling these people they're coming in. Let me tell you, I'll give you a scene. I can see it in my eyes. Jeremiah's out there. He's crying. He's weeping. He's heartbroken. He doesn't want to hurt their feelings. He's a tender, compassionate man. He's telling them what God said. And mamas are taking the kid away. He's crazy. He's a fanatic. Go around him. We're going on into church. They've set their abominations in the house which is called by my name to pollute it. And you watch verse 31. And they have built the high places of Tophet. Now, you know about this. I preached on this last week. Valley Tophet, which is in the valley of the son of Heman, to burn their sons and daughters in the fire, which I commanded them not, neither came it into my mind. That's the killing of the innocents. That's the killing of the children in the land. I am telling you right now, in my spirit, I do not see how this nation is going to get away with the murder of 70 or 80 million innocent children. I don't see how we're going to get past it. I don't see how we're going to escape the judgment of Almighty God. And may I say to you again, I remind you of something I said, I hope you picked it up. This man's preaching 100 years after Isaiah. God had given them another 100 years as a nation to repent and turn, and they said, no deal. And America, I don't see any signs of America repenting. I don't. I'm honest with you. I believe there's a remnant. I believe there's a righteous remnant that wants to, get rid of abortion, and we would if we could and so forth. But I'm telling you right now, I don't know how many votes, who got what, but even if Joe Biden got 60 million votes, if he got half the votes, that tells you half this country's loco, crazy, evil, hates God. You don't vote for people like that and have any affinity for the truth and God Almighty and the Word of God. This country is a mess. Anyway, he said, verse number 32, therefore, behold, the days cometh the Lord that it shall no more be called Tophet, nor the valley of the son of Hinnom, but the valley of slaughter. For they shall be, watch this, for they shall bury in Tophet till there be no place. He said, here's what I'm going to tell you. You've been taking for the last 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60 years, you've been taking your kids down, little bitty babies down there, throw them up in the arms of that brass god Moloch, melting them down for the dogs to eat, listen to their screams and their wailings, and I'm done with you. And he said, and God said, at that very place where you were sacrificing your babies, I'm going to have a slaughter so bad there won't be room to bury you. And it happened. They came in and killed them so thick. You know what they did? They let the birds eat the flesh off the bones. There wasn't nobody to bury him. Now, I'm going to tell you something this morning. I'm not a prophet. I ain't nobody. But I believe there's something bigger than even the government and the political agenda with COVID. I think God Almighty has allowed it and possibly sent COVID into this land to start a judgment on this land of this people. That doesn't mean that somebody who died of COVID or had COVID is evil. Let me tell you something. Daniel was taken into, he was a godly man and taken into captivity. Don't you go out here and say I said that. I'm telling you, God is moving a cloud of judgment across this country. And we are somehow or another, the Bible said, be not deceived, God is not mocked, for what a man soweth, that shall he also reap. We're going to reap exactly what we've sown. We have sown the slaughter of innocents. We have shed innocent blood in this land. You've got governors, multiple legislative bodies in this country, a Supreme Court who has okayed the slaughter of babies, and they're talking about killing them after they come out of the womb. I've got two grandchildren coming tomorrow, Lord willing, two twins. And we're talking about people that's in leadership and authority who said it's all right that after Sarah had those babies, Glenn, that it's all right in their eyes if you just want to let them die there on the table. This is crazy. This is insane. This is hellish. This is evil. This is wicked. And we're not going to get by with it.
Amen.
And I will tell you this. And I don't want a spirit of, oh, my goodness, oh, my goodness. No, that's not what I'm preaching. I want to tell you something. Reg Kelly's ready to fight. I'm not in retreat. I'm not crawling off on a hole. Jeremiah did what I wanted to do. He wanted to go to the wilderness and just lodge and let them go to hell because they're not going to listen. But I'm going to fight till the trumpet sounds, Lord, or I die. That's what I'm going to do. That's what God wants to do. I'm going to be of good cheer.
Amen.
I'm going to rejoice because I am on the winning side.
Right.
I am going to be victorious in the end because of my Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. All right?
Right.
All right, now he said in verse number 33, watch it. And the carcass of this people shall be meat for the fowls of the heaven, the beasts of the earth, and none shall fray them away. There won't even be people there to drive the birds off your dead body. Verse 34, then will I cause to cease from the cities of Judah and from the streets of Judah, the voice of mirth and voice of gladness, the voice of bridegroom, the voice of bride, for the land shall be desolate. That exactly is what happened. There weren't no more weddings, there weren't no more feasts, there weren't no nothing because there wasn't nobody there and the land was desolate. Chapter 8, at that time saith the Lord, they shall bring out the bones of the king of Judah, the bones of his princes, the bones of the priests, the bones of the prophets, the bones of the inhabitants of Jerusalem out of their graves. And they shall spread them before the sun, the moon, and all the host of heaven whom they have loved and whom they have served, after whom they have walked, after whom they have sought, and whom they worship. These false gods, these pagan gods, he said, all this, he's going to have them drag their bodies out of their tombs, lay them out there in before that which they worship, and they shall not be gathered nor be buried, they shall be dung for the face of the earth. And death shall be chosen rather than life by all the residue of them that remain of this evil family, which remain in all the places where I've driven them, saith the Lord of hosts. Moreover, thus they shall say unto them, thus saith the Lord, shall they fall and not arise? Shall he turn away and not return? Why then is this people of Jerusalem slidden back by perpetual backsliding? They hold fast deceit. They refuse to return. I hearkened and heard, but they spake not aright. No man repented him of his wickedness, saying, what have I done? Everyone turned to his course as the horse rusheth into battle. Verse 7 and 8 is going to talk about how the birds are smarter than the humans. I'm going to jump verse 8. How do you say we are wise and the law of the Lord is with us? Lo, certainly in vain he made it. He it the pen of the scribes in vain. The wise men are ashamed. They're dismayed, taken. Lo, they have and here's why. All the wise people in America God has turned their wisdom foolish. And here's why. They have rejected the word of the Lord, and what wisdom is in them? None. Verse 10, therefore will I give their wives. Listen to this. Hey, here's judgment coming. Therefore will I give their wives unto others. Who was the others? The Babylonian soldiers that came in. They killed the husbands, drug the wives off with them. Their fields, I gave them to them that shall inherit them. For everyone from the least even unto the greatest is given to covetous. From the prophet even unto the priest, everyone dealeth falsely. And I tell you, America's full of this junk. The average preacher in the church in America, all they're wanting to know is money. Make sure that the offerings are good so you can send 10% up the ladder. It's like a pyramid scheme. I'll be honest with you. Denominationalism in this country has become a super rich denominational pyramid scheme. And their motivation for wanting people, quotes, converted and added to the church, that's why, hey, adjust your services, do what you got to do to get the crowds in so the offerings can be good. Because those people really like to give as long as they don't have to repent.
Yeah, right.
Yep. Verse, that's dealing falsely, by the way.
Yeah.
Verse 11, for they have healed the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly, saying, watch this, peace, peace, when there is no peace. You don't have peace with God. Don't fool yourself. If you're disobeying the Bible, you do not have that peace. If you're disobeying the word of the Lord, no peace. Verse 12, watch this. Were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? Nay, they were not at all ashamed. Neither could they blush. Now, folks, I'm going to tell you something. I could park right there for an hour. It's amazing to me what's going on in America. Nobody's ashamed of it. People shacking up, fornicating, adultery, divorce, all this garbage. No shame to it. You're supposed to like it, preacher. You should keep your mouth shut, preacher. Dress naked. Little boys running around now in America with, looks like, women's slacks. Little tight deals around their little ankles. Not ashamed. Don't blush. I'll tell you what, when I was a boy, I don't know how many men down in my part of the country whooped my rear end for dressing like a woman.
That's right.
I mean, it had jerked you out of your car.
Amen.
America used to have some great men. You say, well, they're pretty rough. Yeah, that's why they had a great country, because they was rough enough to deal with stuff. L.T. Harper told me about a couple moved in over there a few miles from them, and he was a young man. They got word they weren't married. A group of men from the community loaded up, went over there, knocked on the door, said, listen, we don't want to be rough or mean, but we heard that y'all not married living together. Is that right? The guy said, yeah, that's right. We're not married. They said, you got 2 days to be gone. You're going to be gone. We ain't having this trash in our community. They didn't have to have the preacher. Yep. I hope the preacher preaches at him Sunday.
Right.
Women, absolutely, it's just gone. I've been working on a message called Ladies and Gentlemen, They Are No More in America. Women talking crude, rough, foul language, wearing stuff that shows their rear ends, crotches, parading around, you know. And then Sunday, let's see, I've got to go here at the other closet. I mean, you know what? You can hate my guts, but I'm going to be honest with you. I love you. I'm like Jeremiah. I weep over this. I don't want you experiencing what they experienced here. I'm not the Holy Spirit, but I am the preacher. When are we going to say, "What? You know what? I better start obeying God's word. I don't want judgment to come to me and my family. I want judgment to come to my nation." They weren't ashamed. They couldn't even blush. Therefore shall they fall among them that fall. God says, if you're not ashamed of your sinfulness, and I try to point that out and I try to help you, and you've got a rebellious attitude toward that. In the time of their visitation, they'll be cast down, saith the Lord. I will surely consume them. I mean, queers walk in the street, and they don't blush. I'm proud of being a sodomite. I just want to fall over and just cry and say, oh, God, where are we? Reggie, where are you? I'm going to tell you something. I was reading this, and I'm going to tell you what, it's like God said, Reggie, I'm going to tell you something, buddy. You may be the pastor, and you may be the preacher, but I won't put up with you. In fact, you'll be first. You better be sure you're not living a double life. You better be sure what you're acting like you are, you are. I judge you worse than I will anybody in that church. Jeremiah's called the weeping prophet. He wasn't beating on those people. He's pleading with those people for God. Chapter number 8. At that time saith the Lord, they shall bring the bones. I did that. Where are we at? 13 of chapter 8. I will surely consume them, saith the Lord. There shall be no grapes on the vine, no figs on the fig tree. The leaf shall fade, and the things that I've given them shall pass away from them. Why do we sit still? Assemble yourselves and let us enter into the defense cities and let us be silent there, for the Lord our God hath put us to silence, and given us water of gall to drink because we have sinned against the Lord. We looked for peace, but no good came, and for a time of health, and behold, trouble. The snorting of his horses was heard from Dan. The whole land trembled at the sound of the neighboring neighing of the strong ones, for they are come and have devoured the land and all that is in it, the city and those that dwell therein. For behold, I will send serpents, cockatrices among you, which will not be charmed, and they shall bite you, saith the Lord. When I would comfort myself against sorrow, my heart is faint in me. Behold the voice of the cry of the daughter of my people because of them that dwell in the far country. Is not the Lord in Zion? Is not her king in her? Why have they provoked me to anger with their graven images and with strange vanities? Look what he says, folks. The harvest is past, the summer's ended, and we're not saved. The hurt of the daughter of my people, I am hurt. I am black, I'm astonished, and have taken hold on me. Jeremiah's crying now, folks. He's crying. Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why then is not the health of the daughter of my people recovered? Chapter 9, oh, that my head were a fountain, and my eyes even a fountain of tears, that I might weep day and night for the slain of the daughter of my people. Exclamation mark. Oh, that I had in the wilderness a lodging place of wayfaring men, and that I might leave my people and go from them, for they be all adulterers, an assembly of treacherous men. I want to remind you that pornography is probably the leading monetary system in this country, right behind casinos. Pornography is not million, but billion. It's one of the largest industries in the entire world. Who's watching it? Who's paying to watch it? You don't have those kind of figures, folks, without millions and millions and multiplied millions of people watching it. It's impossible. He said they're all adulterous, an assembly of treacherous men. You run that to Malachi chapter 3, God says you've been treacherous against the wife of your youth. God calls adultery treachery. Men, the second we get our mind on another woman, we're being treacherous to our wives. Verse 3, and they bend their tongues like a bow for lies, but they are not valiant for the truth. Underline that, not valiant for the truth upon the earth. For they proceed from evil to evil, and they know not me, saith the Lord. You hear that? They proceed from evil to evil, and they don't know God, but they think they do. Verse 4, take ye heed every one of his neighbor, and trust ye not in any brother. For every brother will utterly supplant, and every neighbor will walk with slanders. And they will deceive every one his neighbor, and will not speak the truth. They have taught their tongue to speak lies, and weary themselves to commit iniquity. Thus thine habitation is in the midst of deceit. Through deceit they refuse to know me, saith the Lord. Therefore thus saith the Lord of hosts, behold, I will melt them and try them. Or how shall I do for the daughter of my people? Their tongue is an arrow shot out. It speaketh deceit. One speaketh peaceably to his neighbor with his mouth, but in his heart he layeth his weight. Shall I not visit them for these things, saith the Lord? Shall not my soul be avenged on such a nation as this? For the mountains will I take up a weeping and wailing, and for the habitation of the wilderness a lamentation, because they are burned up, so that none can pass through them, neither can men hear the voice of the cattle, both the fowl of the heaven, the beast are fed, and they are gone. And I will make Jerusalem heaps and a den of dragons, and I will make the cities of Judah desolate without inhabitant. And he did. Who is the wise man that may understand this? And who is he that whom the mouth of the Lord has spoken, that he may declare it? For what the land perisheth and is burned up like a wilderness, that none passeth through. And the Lord saith, because they have forsaken my law, which I set before them, and have not obeyed my voice, neither walked therein, but have walked after the imagination of their own heart, and after Balaam, which their fathers taught them. Therefore thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will feed them, even this people, with wormwood, and give them water of gall to drink. I will scatter them also among the heathen, whom neither they nor their fathers have known, and I will send a sword after them till I have consumed them. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider ye, and call for the mourning women, call that may come, and send for cunning women, that they may come, and let them make haste, and take up a wailing for us, that our eyes may run down with tears, and our eyelids gush out with waters. For a voice of wailing is heard out of Zion. How are we spoiled? And that means they were robbed and totally ruined. We are greatly confounded, because we have forsaken the land, because our dwellings have cast us out. Yet hear the word of the Lord, O ye women. Let your ear receive the word of his mouth. Teach your daughters wailing, every one her neighbor lamentation. For death is come up into our windows and is entered into our palaces. Watch this. To cut off the children from the without and the young men from the streets. Speak, thus saith the Lord. Even the carcasses of men shall fall as dung upon the open field, and the handful after the harvest, and none shall gather them. Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might, let not the wretched man glory in his riches. And let him that glorieth, now here it is, folks, verse 24, let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me. Do you understand and know God? Secondly, that I am the Lord which exercise loving kindness. I don't want to punish you. I don't want to do this. I don't want to exercise wrath against you. But he said, I exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will punish all them which are circumcised with the uncircumcised. In other words, Jew and Gentile, won't make any difference. Egypt, Judah, Edom, the children of Ammon and Moab, and all that are in the uttermost corners that dwell in the wilderness, all these nations are uncircumcised, and all the house of Israel are uncircumcised in their heart. Now, if you know anything about circumcision is a cutting off of the flesh. What God wants Christians to do when you get saved, he wants your heart to be circumcised. That means cut the fleshly junk out of your life. Crucify the flesh. Be circumcised in heart. Their problem was they were circumcised in body, but they were not circumcised in heart, and that got them. Verse chapter number 10, and we'll be done. Hear ye the word of the Lord, speaketh unto you, O house of Israel. Thus saith the Lord, learn not the way of the heathen. Be not, by the way, that's a huge issue there. You watch enough TV, you watch enough of this junk, you listen to the world, you're going to learn their ways. And be not dismayed at the signs of heaven, for the heathen are dismayed at them. For the customs of the people are vain, for one cutteth a tree out of the forest, the work of the hands of the workmen with the axe. They deck it with silver and with gold, they fasten it with nails and with hammers, that it move not. They are upright as the palm tree, but speak not, they must needs be born, because they cannot go. Be not afraid of them, for they cannot do evil, neither also is it in them to do good. For as much as there is none like unto thee, O Lord, thou art great, thy name is great in might. Who would not fear thee, O King of nations? For to thee doth it appertain. For as much as among all the wise men of the nations and all their kingdom, there is none like unto thee. But they are altogether brutish and foolish. The stock is a doctrine of vanities. Silver spread into plates is brought from tarnish, and gold from Uphaz, and the work of the workmen, the hands of the founder, blue and purple is in their clothing, but they're all the work of cunning men. But, verse number 10, I want you to circle this verse. I wished I could preach entirely on this verse this morning, but I can't. The Lord is the true God, number one. Secondly, he's the living God. Thirdly, he's the everlasting King. Fourthly, and at his wrath the earth shall tremble, and the nations shall not be able to abide his indignation. He said, it's coming. Verse 11, thus shall you say unto them, the gods that have not made the heavens and the earth, even they shall perish from the earth and from under these heavens. Verse 12, he refers back to God now. He hath made the earth by his power. He hath established the world by his wisdom, and hath stretched out the heavens by his discretion. When he uttereth his voice, there's a multitude of waters in the heavens, and he causeth the vapors to ascend from the ends of the earth. He maketh lightnings with rain, and bringeth forth the wind out of his treasures. Every man is brutish in his knowledge. Every founder is confounded by the graven image. For his molten image is falsehood, and there is no breath in them. They are vanity, and the work of errors. In the time of their visitation they shall perish. The portion of Jacob is not like them. For he is the former of all things, and Israel is the rod of his inheritance. The Lord of hosts is his name. Gather up thy wares out of the land, O inhabitant of the fortress. For thus saith the Lord, behold, I will sling out the inhabitants of the land at this once, and will distress them that they may find it so. Woe is me, for my hurt. My wound is grievous. But I said, truly this is grief, and I must bear it. My tabernacle is spoiled, and all my cords are broken. My children are gone forth of me, and they are not. There is none to stretch forth my tent anymore and to set up my curtains. Look, folks, at verse 21. For the pastures are become brutish and have not sought the Lord. Therefore they shall not prosper, and all their flocks shall be scattered. Behold, the noise of the bruit is come, and a great commotion out of the north country, to make the cities of Judah desolate and a den of dragons. Lord, O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. O Lord, correct me, but with judgment, not in thine anger, lest thou bring me to nothing. Pour out thy fury upon the heathen that know thee not, and upon the families that call not upon thy name. For they have eaten up Jacob, devoured him, and consumed him, and have made his habitation desolate. I want to point you to verse number 23 and 24 in closing today. He said, it is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. You and I cannot correct our steps and direct our steps. We need God to. We cannot walk correctly with God without his word. And here's what I'm asking us to do as a church. Let me say something to everybody here. I want to pour my heart out to you. I'd love to see, it was such a joy to see Jordan get saved last week. Jordan, it's good to see you back. It's strange to see somebody got saved come back to church in this generation, but we're glad you're back. Amen. I would love to see, I'd love to see people get saved. That's, boy, that's what it's all about. Amen. People get saved. But folks, we're living in perilous times and in unusual times. And what my heart's desire, I'd love to see, you know, revival. But here's what I'd really like to see. Now, I had a man mock me for saying this here a while back, a few miles from here, when I mentioned something about a quiet revival. But here's what I'd really like to see. Without the fanfare and without all the buzz, I'd just like to see each of us in our family say, we're going to take a good look at our life and our home and our family. And we're going to see, are we obedient to God in this area? Are we obedient to God in this area? Are we obedient to God in this area? And Lord, if you will show us, we will correct it by your grace. That's what I'd like to see. I don't looking for big testimonies and all this kind of stuff. I'd just like to know that quietly, individual by individual, home by home, family by family, I'm telling you the honest truth. I got on my face. I said, God, I can't direct my own steps. I stepped the wrong way. God, you direct my steps. I'm not looking for fanfare. I'm not looking for, oh my goodness, talk about a good service. Man, we had a good service. I just want us to be people who are walking with God. And our children can see the honesty of that and the truth of that. And then we can enjoy the blessing in the midst of a crooked and perverted nation that we do know our God and that we want to serve him and please him. And if it makes us look peculiar, it makes us look stupid, makes us look odd, it's okay. We want to please him and not man. We want to please him and not ourselves. I hope you take this with the spirit that it's given today. Sometimes we need to examine ourselves. And we need to say, honest to goodness, are there areas of rebellion in my heart? This man cared for his nation. If America is going to get fixed, it's going to be through God's people. But even if America's not fixed, I want us living right and ready till Jesus comes. Amen. Amen. So I want to encourage you. Visit with the Lord this week. Go back and read. I would challenge everybody here. Read the book of Jeremiah. There's nobody preaching what Jeremiah preached. I promise you that. Everybody talked about, oh, so-and-so, he's a good preacher. There ain't no good preachers in America no more. They're not. There ain't no preachers like there were in the Bible. Ain't no preachers like there were back in the early days of America either. But I tell you one reason there's not. Now listen to me tight. One of the reasons we don't have Bible preaching that changes the country is because people don't want it. There was a time in America when people demanded that a preacher preach this book straight without fear or favor of anybody. Now let me tell you something. God has so ordained it that you must preach the truth in love. And if you don't, it won't fly. How many knows that? They got to know that we love them. One of the reasons, now listen to me, I don't know exactly why I'm saying all this right now. One of the reasons we're not seeing men surrender and boldly go out and say, I'm going to go do a work for God, is because they know the cost. That if they were to preach what they know the Holy Spirit has put in their heart about this book, they will not be successful probably in the eyes of church world. And they know. Let me just be honest with you today. This doesn't make me wise. It doesn't make me smart. Nothing. It's just a matter of being here a while. 38 years. I have seen hundreds of people come to this church and say, boy, I sure like that preaching. Until it was preaching that went against the grain of what they were doing. And then they're gone. You know I'm telling you the truth. And that doesn't mean anybody's gone. That doesn't mean that bad people. I'm just saying that there's a lot of that. You know, I'm not the pastor for hardly nobody, much less everybody. But I will tell you this, that one of the problems in our country is that we do not want and long for truth, God's word. And if God's word starts going to grain to us, then we're going to do something else. And one of the reasons there's the lack of rejoicing, the lack of praise, of genuine, honest, sweetness of the walk with the Lord. You can't have it and be disobedient. You just can't have it. And that's why you see this spirit of eat, drink, and marry. For tomorrow we die. Let's go have a good time. Because, you know, that's the spirit of the age. I hope that this helps us. I'm going to be honest with you. Reggie's struggling. I've got battles in my own heart, my own life. And God's trying to deal with me. And I read this and I took it to me first, all right? And I actually had two or three other messages I was going to preach. Like last night, the Lord said, you preach this. And you just read mostly. Don't preach too much. Read more than you preach. And I just want us to be right with God. You know, we're all going to mess up. Amen. How many of you ever needed mercy? You messed up so bad, you just need some mercy. All right. We're going to need that. This is not about us walking some kind of straitjacket deal. But we're going to need, you know, but we want to. And Lord, if you show me where I'm out of sorts with your word, I'll get right. And that's the attitude God's wanting. And then you'll see God start doing something. I'm telling you, he will. Let's stand. I need to shut up. I believe the Holy Spirit said he was done. He said, Reg, you need to get done. Amen.